Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio Podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
The effect of cutting off jobless benefits. What a new study found out. What's percolating? How about this? Electrical workers organizing a coffee shop. And today on the show, the latest from the Heat and Frost Insulators and the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Welcome to the Wednesday, August 25th edition of America's Workforce, where we are available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Pete Almini is going to be our first guest on the show. One of our regulars, also a proud sponsor of the show. He comes from the Heat and Frost Insulators, specifically the Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Website is Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com. And today we are going to talk once again, and this is pretty important, about the fire stop industry. Pete says he needs to address it with the importance of fire stop inspections. It's part of the mechanical insulation package, but having these fire stop systems properly installed, keyword is properly installed, and then inspected, it still remains a concern that we need to talk about. And he wants to use today's show to encourage anyone who does building fire protection inspections, anybody who does that, well, guess what? There are free seminars, and he's going to get into specifics on that because he wants to make sure that the people that are involved in doing this have the latest information. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to review what fire stop and smoke seal is all about. Now, you have to ask the question, I'm sure many of you are asking, well, wait a minute, isn't it common knowledge for the average person when it comes to fires? You call the fire department, you think of sprinklers. Well, guess what? There's a lot more here. We're talking about fire stopping as a line of defense. We'll take a look at the materials. We'll take a look at the inspection process. And again, we'll talk about the seminars and, of course, the importance of using union labor on all of this. All right, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com is that website. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters will be joining us later in the show, and we have one individual by the name of Greg Chalkley. Now, Greg has a really interesting position. He is the National Campaign Coordinator for the Teamsters Organizing Department. This is something that was created in the last 15, 16, 17 years. They didn't have this if you go back 20 years. And if you know anything about the Teamsters, and you're seeing more unions getting involved in organizing, and again, I keep talking about the pandemic and the effects of the pandemic, how it called attention, especially for frontline workers, they don't have the proper protections on the job. Many of them walked off the job, and they ended up organizing unions. We're going to talk about the campaign, and it happened in various cities, Trenton, New Jersey, and Miami, Florida, and we're talking about the drivers at XPO Logistics. Last month, they made history by ratifying their first contract a week after their coworkers in Miami did the same. And now the two groups have their rights and protections in a legally binding contract for the first time. Now, this was not easy. Group of 34 drivers at XPO in Trenton voted to join Local 701 in April of 2017, over 4 years ago. XPO delayed negotiations, they broke labor laws, and in doing so, they mistreated workers. Why? All in an attempt to deny them their federally protected right to form their union and negotiate a contract, which includes just cause protections, a grievance process, successorship language, job protection language, retirement protections, among other improvements. All things they didn't have if they didn't have the Teamsters on board. Just another example of how long it takes to organize. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. So Greg Shockley, National Campaign Coordinator for the Teamsters Organizing Department, looking forward to that conversation. Speaking of organizing, workers at Collectivo Coffee, how about that name, Collectivo Coffee, have officially voted to unionize with the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. The bargaining unit, now the largest coffee shop union in the country, will encompass 16 stores across two states, Illinois and Wisconsin. Collectivo has stores in Chicago, Milwaukee, and Madison, as well as warehouse workers and delivery drivers. Now listen to the story. The workers voted by mail earlier this year. You know what the vote was? 99-99. The first count was a tie. However, there were seven challenge ballots that the NLRB did not count until this week. And all seven ended up being votes in favor of the union. So, IBEW Local 494, give them a shout out today. They celebrated the results and promised to circulate bargaining surveys. Dean Walsh is their business manager, and he said the local hopes that this victory inspires others in the hospitality industry and service industry to organize a union at their workplace. By the way, the regional chains management, which launched an aggressive union-busting campaign during the vote, no surprise there, said that they were disappointed by the result because a majority of our coworkers, their employees they're referring to, did not vote for unionization. The statement alluded to the challenge votes coming from the workers who were employed when they cast in their mail ballots. Now, this is something that's pretty interesting because their statement did call attention to what is described as a deep and legitimate flaw in the process of the NLRB. And that is the time it takes for workers to actually get their union. Collectivo lamented that the IBEW certification is the result of a process that took place last spring and noted that the cafe industry has high turnover. So a lot of the people that voted for the union are probably not there. And what did we just talk about with the Teamsters? They tried to organize 4 years ago. But the NLRB process, that's one that we have to really delve into. And I'm just thinking, when I read this story over, that would be a good subject for Joyce Goldstein the next time we have her on the show, to talk about how long that is and what they actually have to go through. I know they want to be meticulous, but that would be an interesting conversation. President Biden, despite the continued nationwide surge in cases spurred by the Delta variant, has announced that his administration would not reinstate the enhanced federal unemployment benefits after they expire on September 6th. This despite statements suggesting that he might extend it. I know he's getting a lot of pressure on this, so it seems to be a cave-in on his behalf. Now, I will tell you this. The letter calls for states with high levels of unemployment like California and New York to use funds from other provisions of the American Rescue Plan to provide longer-term assistance to unemployed workers. By the way, a new study analyzed the effects the 21 states ending pandemic unemployment assistance early had on the people who had been receiving those benefits. The move wholly eliminated benefits for over 2 million workers and reduced benefits for another 1 million workers by $300 a week, according to that study. Well, listen to this. The study found that for every 8 workers who lost their benefits, just one found a new job since. Out of every 8, just one found a job. The study also found that for every $1 of reduced benefits, spending fell by 52 cents, whereas only 7 cents of new income was found. Overall, the authors of the study used the data to find that in the early withdrawal states, spending fell by approximately $2 billion, while earnings, because of returning to work, they rose by just $270 million. This has been discussed for years on how unemployment benefits actually help the economy. Because, I mean, $300 a week is not much. Let's be honest here. What are they going to do with that? They're not going to, you know, invest it in the stock market. They're not going to bank it. They're going to spend it on food and groceries and clothing, which stimulates the economy, especially when the economy is, what, 70% based on consumer spending? It wasn't always like that. If you go back to the 50s and 60s, manufacturing had a bigger role. People didn't spend as much. But this is interesting. And how many states, almost half the country, the governors in those states decided to end those benefits? All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to America's Workforce. When we come back, we're going to link up with the heat and frost insulators, specifically Mr. Pete Almini, back in a few minutes.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
America's Workforce is being brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy,
and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with survey and ballot systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
To Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle, real simple, AWF Union Podcast. AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the fine folks at the United Labor Agency, celebrating 50 years, started in Cleveland, Ohio, 1971. You can find more at ulagency.org. Before we get to a Pete Almini, I just want to reference another organizing drive. I mentioned the workers at Collectivo Coffee in Illinois and Wisconsin joining the IBEW. Well, guess what? The workers at various Starbucks locations in the Buffalo region have announced that they have formed an organizing committee called Starbucks Workers United, and they have appealed to the company's progressive branding, writing that respecting workers' right to organize will help the company achieved their mission of improving communities one coffee at a time. In their letter, the organizing committee asked Starbucks management to agree to 8 fair election principles, which would limit some campaign tactics available to Starbucks, like captive audience meetings, which would be allowed, but only on the condition that the union is given equal time to reply. Well, that is one organizing drive to watch, no doubt about that. All right, let's go to line number one. Welcome one of our regulars, also a proud sponsor. I'm talking about the heat and frost insulators, LMCT, mechanical insulators, LMCT.com. And joining us is Mr. Pete Almini. Pete, how are we doing today, brother?
Hey, how you doing?
That Jersey accent always comes out. Hey, somebody in Northeast Ohio says hi. Pat Corrigan, who is the business manager of the Heat and Frost Insulators and Allied Workers Local 3, says, you tell Pete that Pat says hi next time you talk to him. So there you have it.
Thank you very much. And Pat is a great guy and a great labor leader as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A lot of fun. All right. You want to talk today about the fire stop industry? This is something that you and I have addressed over the course of time that we've been talking together. But it's worth repeating. And there's always updates. And let's just get into it. Let's talk about fire stop and smoke seal. What's it all about, Pete?
Thank you, Flash. Yeah, you and I have spoke a lot about this over the last couple of years. In fact, we even had one of our contractors, Tom Dake, from Superior Industrial Insulation. I consider him one of the experts in the field of fire stopping. He was on our show, I believe back in March. But even in addition to that, you and I had several conversations about it. And much like insulation, this is a topic that doesn't get old and it has to be talked about because not many people know about it. And specifically, I want to be able to talk about the inspection process on how it is verified that your building, your facility, your hospital, your school, your college has proper fire stop systems installed. But before I get into that, let me do a quick review. Fire containment is extremely important. If for whatever reason a fire starts within a room or in a portion of a building, we want to be able to contain that fire. We don't want the fire to spread. More importantly, we don't want the smoke to spread throughout the building. If it's able to be contained, suppression systems such as fire sprinkler systems will kick on, extinguish the fire, or the fire department has the ability to contain that fire in that one room. And not only will it save property, it also will save lives. Nothing's worse than a fire that goes rampant throughout a building. And we control that. And this is not a new technology. I think most people have heard the term of fire-rated walls, and that ties directly into the building codes of various buildings. And the building purpose, such as a school or a hospital or an office building or a factory, different building codes are applied when that building is designed and it's built. And it's built with fire-rated walls. And the fire-rated walls mean that the fire and smoke will not penetrate that wall for a certain amount of time. It could be 2 hours. It can be 3 hours. It could be 4 hours. It all depends on the code and the architect and the engineers who designed that building. The problem happens is that the wall is a fire barrier. And it works very well. And you have either joints in the wall where the wall meets the ceiling, where it meets the floor, or it meets other walls. You have a breach, if you will, or a opening that has to be addressed. And those structural walls, the building is designed to be able to move and has seismic shifts. So they have to have the building, believe it, and buildings are designed, believe it or not, to be flexible. They flex and they move with various vibrations, and we don't actually feel it, but the building has to be able to do that. But while those joints are, fire and smoke may penetrate through them. So we have to put special systems in there to keep the fire and the smoke from migrating through that fire-rated wall. But more commonly than that are the penetrations that go through that wall. And the penetration is anything that goes through that wall from one room to the other. It could be commonly a pipe. It could be electrical lines. It could be conduit. It can be HVAC, ductwork, or just openings. And when someone puts a hole or penetration through a wall, that becomes a breach, or that becomes the weakest point of the wall. So now when there's a fire, or more importantly, smoke, smoke will and fire will go through that opening into the next room.
Right.
So you can have this beautiful fire-rated wall that's rated for, let's say, 3 hours, but because someone made a hole in that wall, you just weaken the entire system. You know, it goes, goes back to that old saying, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link.
Right.
And what we do, part of the mechanical insulation industry, is that we have to fill up that hole with special products, special fire stop products, to be able to seal off that, that smoke and also prevent intense flame, intense heat, I should say, and flame going through that penetration, as well as when the fire department does come and they potentially use their high-pressure hoses and it hits that penetration, it has to be strong enough where it doesn't get blown out from the pressure of the fire hose or even pressure from the fire. And it's one thing people don't realize when there's a fire in a room, because of the heat, it builds up pressure. And that pressure can blow out plate glass, but it will blow out any fire stop system that's not properly installed. And that's where the rubber really meets the road, is that you have to have qualified and trained personnel and contractors to install the fire stop systems. And I keep using the term systems. It's not just material. You just don't take fire stop material and stick it in the hole and hope it works. There was a testing process that is done with the fire stop manufacturers to make sure that that fire stop system works. And it's tested many times in laboratories from UL and also FM laboratories to make sure that it qualifies and it meets its purpose. And it maintains that fire-rated wall for the length of time. Too many times, the fire stop material is purchased and you can't stop people from buying it, and it's installed improperly. And it, on the outside, it may look like it is complete and may look like that it is properly treated for that opening, but many times it's not. And unfortunately, most people don't really find out until it's too late, until there is a investigation after a fire. And the fire inspectors are able to, you know, what an incredible field that is. And there's a lot of smart people that are able to examine the fire, where it started, what were the elements that started the fire, what were the elements that maintained that fire. And they can trace where the fire started, and they can trace where it went from compartment or a room, from one room to the other, or it could be from one floor to another. Now, if there is a fire in a high rise on the 13th floor, how did it get to the 14th floor? How did it get to the 15th floor? That should not be. The fire and smoke should not travel. But many times in a fire investigation, after the fire, it's realized and how that fire traveled. And this is why it's been part of the building codes for many years. It's nothing that's new to the construction industry of these fire-rated walls. How we take care of these penetrations, though, has evolved. It used to be 30 years ago and sooner, we used to just put in insulation products into those barriers, into those penetrations, and the pressure just blew out the insulation. Since then, the fire stop industry, I call it the second generation of the fire stop industry had developed these advanced materials and products to be able to install into these penetrations. But what I really want to talk about today is the importance of making sure that these systems are installed and making sure they're installed properly. Mm-hmm. And it comes down to inspections, to making sure that they are properly done. And unfortunately, the inspections is the Achilles heel of this industry, and that's where it falls a little short. Different type of codes, building codes, depending upon the application, requires some sort of government inspection. Usually, mm-hmm. the fire department, fire marshals, fire inspectors, they are in charge of inspecting the building, make sure that they're up to the fire codes in all aspects of the building, not just fire stop.
I hear you.
And I'm not criticizing any of the fire marshals and the inspectors. I can only imagine their world where there is so much to look at, so much to inspect, and sometimes the fire stop systems don't get the attention that they rightly deserve. And there's no way for the fire marshals to be able to understand the amount of renovations that go on in the building. You know, where a contractor comes in and simply just puts in telecommunication lines throughout a building, which is very common nowadays. And the contractor's coming in, making penetrations in the wall, and no one thinks twice about it. And the experts in the field, the ones that I deal with, such as Tom Dake, explain that to me all the time on how there are renovations done to a building, and the contractor may not be aware of it. The owner is definitely not aware of it. The fire marshals and the inspectors are not aware of it. And now we have fire rated walls with weakness with penetrations put into that wall.
So, Pete, in essence, you think they're fire rated, but they're not, because of the renovations that may have happened. Like you mentioned, the telecom wires being put through the wall, and obviously that disrupts the whole process when it comes to fire stopping. All right, if you can hold that thought, I want to get into the inspection process and also about the seminars, free seminars for fire marshals and other inspectors. Very important issue. If there's a fire in a building, you want it contained immediately. And that's what we're talking about on the show. Later, we're going to check in with the International Brotherhood of Teamsters and talk about organizing. And on the line will be the National Campaign Coordinator for Organizing. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
The United Auto Workers are one of the largest and most diverse unions in North America, with members in virtually every sector of the economy. Learn more about this proud sponsor of our program at UAW.org.
Buildings, bridges, skyscrapers, and more. Structures that are the face of our cities and towns were built by members of the Iron Workers Union. That's why it's important that our workforce of over 130,000 iron workers continues to be the safest and best trained in the field. With 154 training centers, we invest over $90 million annually in safety and training. We're growing the next generation of union iron workers. There are so many reasons to put your trust in our iron workers and their employers. Learn more about us at ironworkers.org.
Mesothelioma is a rare type of cancer caused by exposure to asbestos. If you were exposed to asbestos and have mesothelioma or lung cancer, the trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at kellyandferraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, we're available on five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, as well as Pandora. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin one of our regulars, Mr. Pete Almini, on behalf of the Heat and Frost Insulators, LMCT. That stands for Labor Management Cooperative Trust. We're talking once again about the fire stop industry and the importance of making sure that the inspections are done on a regular basis and making sure the inspectors are knowing what they're looking for, along with the fire marshals. Pete, let's pick up on that because I know you there's a couple things you wanted to add to our last conversation, but I want to get into the free seminars. And there's a lot of educational opportunities out there, so I'm just going to turn it over to you. Go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. One thing that we have found in our industry is to be able to expand the education level of everyone that's involved in this, from the facility manager, the building owner, all the way to the public officials who do the inspections. And I want to be able to get this out as clear as I possibly can and be able to use this platform to advertise the fact that we are willing to enhance and increase the education level of our fire marshals and any public official. We will gladly like to be able to sit down with the inspectors and the fire departments and to be able to give them the knowledge that we have about the fire stop systems and how they can easily inspect and the things to be able to look for when they do their inspections. And by no means am I criticizing the job that those men and women have to do. I mean, it's a tremendous amount of responsibility. They have a tremendous amount of items that they have to look for and inspect, and they do a good job. But from our industry, what the LMCT likes to be able to do is just to give these officials another tool in their toolbox and to give them additional training and awareness of the actual installation and the construction of these fire stop systems. We feel that that's going to be beneficial, one, to save lives, and that's probably the thing that's most important. And to be realistic, what's secondary is to be able to save the property, which saves money. And I like to make, and I'm starting to investigate this even further, and I also like to be able to educate our insurance companies. And that's kind of a something that's out in left field, but I feel that the insurance companies that insure our buildings also should be aware of this. And I'm sure they would like to know or even to be able to give a discount that they possibly could to a building owner that is up on these fire stop technologies and industry, and the building is going to be a lot safer for life and property. I think the insurance company should be aware of that. And I like to be able to offer seminar training for insurance companies as well. And, you know, I think about, and I'd like to make a comparison to the construction industry as a whole and OSHA. As we all know, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration over the last 30 to 40 years have developed a lot of regulations and requirements to make things safe for the construction worker. And it's been absolutely a game changer in the construction field. But the entity that has really propelled and pushed and enforced the OSHA regulations, believe it or not, are the insurance companies. The insurance companies that insure the construction contractor. They make sure that the contractor is following safety regulations because they don't want to have accidents. They want to keep their rates low. They want to keep the payouts low. Mm-hmm. But the insurance companies really drive the industry of worker safety, and they use the OSHA standards in conjunction with that. And it's something that's really not a secret, but it works. And after so many years of listening to frustrations of hearing about the fire stop industry and how it's not inspected enough, I really would like to have an attempt to get the insurance companies involved in this as well. You know, maybe the insurance companies would look different on insuring a building that has proper fire stop system as the ones that do not.
Right.
After the fire, you know, it becomes the business of rebuilding that structure, and the insurance companies are right there, right in the middle of it. And I would just think they would have an interest in to learn more about this fire stop industry. So if there are any insurance companies that are in the business of insuring buildings and fire protection, I would love to be able to have a conversation with an individual or an organization and to give them the education about fire stop as well. But going back to what I just said a couple minutes ago, if there's any public officials or organizations, fire marshals, whether it be on the municipal level, the city level, or state level, and we have done it before. We have had several states where we were able to speak at their conference or their gatherings, and just to give them a little bit of education about a world that we are very familiar with, and it was always successful. And I'd like to be able to put that out there for anyone interested in more information. You can contact me, go to the website, and you have a plethora of information.
There's actually two websites. You got the Mechanical Insulators, LMT.com, or those of you listening right now can go to FireStop, LMCT.com. So either one of those, Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com, or FireStop, LMCT.com. I would imagine insurance companies always want to save money. They'll take your money, but they don't want to pay it out. And this is a great opportunity for them. Great opportunity. One more question here, Pete. Are you finding more jurisdictions, municipalities that are getting what you're talking about on fire stopping, realizing that, you know, it's important to do this on the upfront? Is that happening right now?
It's happening. It's evolving, but it is moving like molasses. It is very slow. And unfortunately, it's going to evolve based on the amount of unfortunate fires that happen. People get educated very quickly, unfortunately, after the event. And you can if you have the opportunity to read reports of a post fire investigation, it's very telling of what it is. I had the opportunity to read, believe it or not, it was a long time ago, the 9/11 commission reports, and it was a high rise in the fire in the World Trade Center, obviously. But when you saw the reports of the firemen going into that building, they had to go to several different floors because the fire was migrating from one floor to the next. And they were attempting to control that fire. Ended up being a lot bigger story than just that. But it was very telling to me when I was reading that in the 9/11 commission report. But any fire, any high-rise building, even a one-story school, fire is going to migrate from one containment to the other. And when people realize how you can prevent this, then the awareness of fire stop industry increases. So the inspection process with municipalities is growing. It's just not growing fast enough. And we have to make sure we get quality contractors and quality trained personnel to install these systems.
I hear you. All right, Pete, we're going to button it up there. Once again, there's two websites to go to if you want to contact Pete, especially anybody involved in insurance listening right now. It's so darn important. Let's go to Mechanical Insulators, LMCT.com, or simply FireStop, LMCT.com. Pete, let's stay on this issue. I'm glad you revisited it, and it's so important. We're talking about saving lives. It's real simple. We're saving lives in America. along with saving a whole lot of money down the road as well. So you take care, stay safe, and we'll talk next month, all right?
Thank you, Flash. You take care as well.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to link up with Greg Chalkley. Greg is the National Campaign Coordinator for the Teamsters Organizing Department. Back in a few minutes.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Have you or a loved one been diagnosed with prostate, breast, or any other cancer after taking Zantac? You may be entitled to compensation. The trial lawyers at Kelly & Ferraro may be able to help you. Find us at KellyAndFerraro.com. Kelly & Ferraro, trial lawyers.
Nurses, doctors, and caregivers at the VA are under attack. They face hostile management, callous agency heads, and an administration that's stomping all over their ability to speak up for our veterans. Unions are even being kicked out of their offices, a direct attempt to silence the voice of VA employees. When VA workers are under attack, veterans pay the price. Costly privatization and outsourcing will run rampant, meaning fewer services and worse quality of care for our nation's heroes. It's time to stand up for the workers who care for our veterans. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook. That's AWF Union Podcast. And follow us on Twitter. Same thing, AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to Bakersfield, California right now. And joining us on our live line is Greg Chalkley. Greg is the National Campaign Coordinator for the Teamsters Organizing Department, and they've got some successes here at XPO, and that's exactly what he's trying to do in Bakersfield. Hey, Greg, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Good day, and yes, hello from Bakersfield.
You travel all around the country. I know you're based on the East Coast, but that's great. How long have you been in this position? Let's start there.
Well, I've been with our organizing department since 2003, its inception, its start. I've been the national campaign coordinator for our department for the last 5-6 years, have been a Teamster for, this is year 41 for me.
All right. God bless you. And you've had a tremendous success here with XPO Logistics, one in Trenton, New Jersey. This was last month, and also in Miami. And, of course, you're organizing over there in California right now. Talk to me about XPO, because what I've been reading, they're not easy to deal with, are they?
They are horrendous. They've been noted as the company that nobody's heard of because they do logistics. And I know that's a funny word, but what they do is they do work for companies we have all heard of. Pepsi, Quaker, go down the list, IKEA, all these huge companies. They do hauling of freight, they do warehousing, they do all the items of moving, sorting, our U.S. Postal Service, believe it or not. But no, they're a horrendous anti-union company. They have sworn that we would never organize anything there. They have sworn that the Teamsters would never have a contract at XPO. Well, I hate to tell them, but we have two right now, and they're kind of pulling their hair out. They are known for treating workers poorly. They are known for breaking the law. They are known for delaying tactics, and they are known for taking the money at the top and not passing it on. Although they are paying a decent hourly rate, there's big conversation over how workers are treated. And you might remember a while back, there was a front page New York Times article where we exposed XPO, and we've done that time and time again in Memphis, Tennessee, at one of their warehouses, where we exposed a lady dying on the floor of their warehouse. We found pregnancy discrimination, sexual harassment, and just terrible working conditions. And we just keep seeing this time and time again. The company is set up to make money at the top, and they're doing that. Their CEO just recently was awarded an $80 million bonus. That's not his wage. That's his bonus. And we were successful in just this last year in voting down his pay package. The CEO is Bradley Jacobs. He is an entrepreneur that has had a number of companies over his tenure, and all of them, he does the same thing. He purchases a bunch of companies, slams them all together, guts benefits, guts people, and then shows a profit on paper and then sells it. I guess it's the way of how big money is done here in America, but it certainly is not conducive to a good working environment. That's XPO in a nutshell, I guess.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. Greg, I was reading earlier about the local in Trenton, New Jersey. That's 701. And I guess they voted for the union back in April of 2017. So it took, over 4 years to get a contract out of XPO? Is that right?
That's true, but I must say that my hat goes off to and to Miami, Florida. They actually organized. It took 6 years to come to an agreement. And with that being said, we fought World War II in less time than it took for this group to get a contract at XPO. 6 years, and yes, Trenton, hats off to them too. This company had every intent of there never being a contract with any of these units.
Now, you indicated that they did everything. They threw everything except the kitchen sink at the workers there, and they broke labor laws. Now, what happened when they broke labor laws? Did they get fined for that, or are the labor laws too weak? What's the story?
I have to tell you. And fortunately, I'm in a position to where I work a lot with our European colleagues, our European unions, and we have our labor laws in America are far from where they need to be. Usually it slaps on hands. Usually it's, yes, they're made to pay what they owe anyway. But there's no true penalties over the top in our labor laws. And that's an XPO banks on that. We even did a report an assistant general counsel under the Obama administration. We have connections there with a gentleman named Leif Solomon. And he actually did a report on XPO for us. He looked at all the board charges, because we have hundreds of board charges over the last 4 or 5 years that we've been dealing with this company. And he said, I've never seen a company this egregious in fighting unionization of employees. As an example, on one of our wins in organizing, they tried to take the union certification of the election to the U.S. Supreme Court. It took over 4 years just to get a certification done. People don't realize all that goes along with this, but the fight is real. The fight is every darn day.
So you won in Miami, you won in Trenton, New Jersey, and you're in Bakersfield, California right now. Can you describe what's going on? I would imagine similar kind of tactics by XPO there.
Oh, yes. I mean, it's nothing for them, to pull every punch they can, delay. We're actually in negotiations here in Bakersfield. We won elections here. We're getting close to a tentative agreement here, something XPO doesn't want to see. But I met with workers, the last few days here just to make sure they understand the contract process, what's in their agreement upcoming, and they're headed back into another round of negotiations. But we're very close to another tentative agreement to be voted on soon.
So, Greg, can you share with us what you are able to accomplish? I think it's important those listening right now know what the Teamsters bring to the table when they have that signed contract. What kind of protections and wages and all that? Can we get into that?
Certainly. I mean, the biggest thing, this is a first agreement. And you know, we talked about, I grew up in the Teamster organization. My pop was a Teamster principal officer. I, too, have set, you know, worked in local unions. But I drove for Roadway Express for many years. But what we bring to the table, especially in these first agreements, and I've negotiated a number of them, although I'm not doing the negotiations for these, is the protection, taking that knot out of your stomach every day when you go into work. We have been able to secure in these first agreements just cause protection. And sometimes I don't think workers realize what just cause even means. It's a legal term. It makes the company reach a high bar before they can discipline people. They can't just do it on a whim. We have a total grievance process. We have independent arbitration at the end of the grievance process. And at XPO, they used to have a peer review board, which was, it was three XPO managers determining your fate, being judge, jury, and executioner. They don't have that anymore. They have a true grievance process with an independent arbitrator with binding arbitration at the end of it. So the company has to follow it. We've got successorship language which protects them. We look for XPO to sell the place one of these days soon, and they have successorship language now that protects the contract and protects the workers if they would get purchased. We have a way to dispatch. We have a way. We've locked in their retirement with their 401k matches and protecting the old. Well, and here's something I guess we haven't even talked of. XPO is, they purchased the former Conway Freight, and we've all heard of that. So this is actually a Conway contract. So we've protected the old Conway pension, which is no longer funded by the company. But at least in that instance, the guys have some protection through ERISA. And of course, we've talked about it during negotiations, so it won't go away. And just having that language of how to do work, how to dispatch. They have change of operation language where they can follow their work. I mean, all these things are huge, and they take away that unknown factor every day when you go to work. I hope that makes sense.
Oh, it does. And you know what? In this conversation, this is just an indication, another indication of why we need the PRO Act, which is now the Richard Trumka PRO Act because of his passing a couple weeks ago. I mean, it's so difficult. It's so darn difficult to organize. They throw everything at you. Another good example. But with the power of the Teamsters, you made some changes. So you feel pretty good about what's happening in Bakersfield, I take it.
Yeah, we're moving along. What a great bunch of guys out here that I had an opportunity to sit down with. Of course, we've had organizers on the ground, and we did already win an election here. But what a strong bunch of guys. And I just got to commend Miami, Trenton, King of Prussia. I'm thinking through some of these locations where we have won elections and are fighting for first contracts. And, of course, here at Bakersfield, the worker perseverance. I mean, think about it. The Miami guys, I got to go back to them. 6 years they hung tough, and that's, man, that just, and I got to commend our local unions, the local union commitments to be able to keep guys on board for that long and fighting to better things. It's almost unheard of. I mean, the fortitude that they have is to be commended. And I hope all of our membership and all union members around the country that listen to you just say, wow, that's a big deal.
I love it.
Congratulations.
I absolutely love it. Greg, great job. Thank you so much. Greg Chalkley, National Campaign Coordinator for the Teamsters Organizing Department. Definitely doing some great work in America. You take care. Stay safe. Let's talk down the road. I'm sure you'll have other stories you can share with us, okay?
I'd love to speak to you again. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, that's it for another edition of America's Workforce. Tomorrow, Bill Samuel of the AFL-CIO and the latest from the Better Business Bureau. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.